Hello world, and welcome to the first ever Beer Jerk podcast. I'm Luke.
And I'm Matt.
And we are, well, we're not podcasters, obviously. We're blokes that run a craft beer website, but we have a lot to say. So we thought we'd start a podcast. It may be interesting. Hopefully you'll give us some feedback. So one thing I should lay out to begin with is that a lot of people say that Matt and I sound the same. But that's completely wrong. Matt is obviously a massive Cockney, and I'm from Birmingham, so I've got a strong Brummie accent. Isn't that right?
That's about right, yeah. I'm clearly a massive Cockney accent here, but it's pretty distinct and off-putting, so...
I often can't understand what you're saying.
I know, and you're just, you've got that thick northern drawl that it's going to be unfortunate for our listeners, really.
Birmingham's in the Midlands.
It's not
so anyway... it's the Beer Jerk podcast that we're going to be talking about beer. So, of course, we're based in New Zealand, and there's always lots of interesting things going on. And we should probably... Do you feel like drinking a beer, Matt?
I always feel like drinking a beer, Luke.
Let's get into it. What's this?
So this is our Beer Jerk Beer of the Week, and it is Cloud Base Kolsch from Eddyline Brewing down in Nelson.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Good bit of dead air while we just swig our Kolsch.
Yep.
Oh,
it's great radio.
So, Eddyline is in Nelson, so famously amongst all of the hop farms. So they've got great access to lots of hops. Eddyline was started by a married couple. So it's Mick and his wife Molly, and it's a bit of a family business. So their son Moab. Is really, I think he's their sales guy now.
Yeah, he's down in Wellington.
Oh, he's in Wellington, cool. And Eddyline isn't Mick and Molly's first brewery. They actually had a few breweries before they moved to New Zealand. I think they came over and fell in love with the place because of just our hops, our culture, and adventure sports. So that's the philosophy behind Eddyline.
A brewery that has put out come bursting onto the scene in recent times. Really, they only started releasing cans in the last year or two, and with their core range, they've really kind of made a mark. One of the things that they've done overseas with in their past experience in breweries is putting out 440 ml cans and six packs at really great prices. So you can generally find stuff like their Trail Carver APA, Summer in the Citra Hazy IPA, and Crank Yanker IPA are really good, clean American-style beers at some pretty unbeatable prices. So they're definitely something to look out for if you haven't seen them before.
Yeah, to an extent, I think Eddyline have disrupted our craft beer scene in New Zealand in a small way by putting out beers that are fantastic. They're great value, and they're becoming more easily available. Obviously, they're very easily available at beerjerk.co.nz. That's our advertising for this episode. And yeah, we've been really impressed with especially the Hop Forward beers, being an American brewery. Obviously, that's where they cut their teeth in this new world of IPAs and pale ales. But this is an old world beer. So I'm pretty happy to see that they've used an umlaut over the O in the word Kolsch.
It's very important.
Well, it is, yeah. People just... it's always a bit of a laugh in the office for us when we see breweries that just wantonly spell things incorrectly. And I think Belgium beers with an M at the end is...
I haven't seen that so much lately. I think people realise that it's Belgian. But I saw one online the other day that someone posted that they'd pulled out of their cellar. I think it was a Harrington's.
Harrington's had a beer called Belgium Tempest. And they had a fucking Viking ship on the bottle. So I don't know if, Harrington's thought that the Belgians were Vikings.
I mean, Vikings may have been to Belgium at some point.
Well, probably at some point. But yeah, pretty tenuous. So the cloud base is a Kolsch. So obviously Kolsch hails from Köln, which we know as Cologne in English. And Kolsch is the traditional beer of Cologne. So in all areas of Germany, they have the different beer styles, and it's no secret that I'm a massive fan of traditional European beers and German beers in particular. And a Kölsch is, it's interesting that it's kind of boring, and if you're not really, if you weren't paying attention, a beer like this one that we're drinking could just pass you by. You might just think, ah, it's a beer that tastes like beer.
Yeah, well, it's the thing about Kölsch is, I mean, for a lot of people, it's going to read just like a standard lager. But obviously, as a lot of our listeners will know, the difference between a lager and an ale, which makes up pretty much every other beer that you drink, is the yeast. And while lagers are traditionally fermented cold for a long time, Kölsch is actually fermented with a warmer ale yeast. And that means that it's got a bit of a different yeast expression. So while the malt is still relatively light and bright, it's a lot of Pilsner malt, so you don't get a huge amount of malt, of that toastier malt character coming through that you get from a pale ale. It's brewed very similarly to a lager, but the yeast actually gives it a bit of a softer mouthfeel. It's not as crisp, it's a bit softer and sweeter, and you get a bit more of the soft fruit yeast esters coming through in there. So it's less dry, but still with a character that's reminiscent of a lager.
Yeah, I also think it's just, it's best of both. You can easily drink quite a lot of Kölsch, which is what they do in Cologne. So in Cologne, the traditional way of serving Kölsch is in a Stange, which is a 200 milliliter glass. And the way it works is you're sat in a pub in Cologne, and the waiters just keep coming around constantly, and they're holding these little trays with a handle on top, and it's a circular tray that has maybe a dozen of these small 200 ml glasses of fresh foamy Kölsch.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who talked about one of their trips to Cologne where they sat down at a table and ordered a beer, and so a bit surprised by this little glass, and then got also quite surprised by the fact that the glass never seemed to empty, because I believe the tradition is that they just keep coming around and topping you up until you stop them.
Would they bring you a fresh glass? So so when your glass is empty, someone immediately replaces it with a full one, and they just mark on your beer mat a little line. So when you want to finish drinking, you put your beer mat on top of your empty glass.
Yeah, so I guess if you don't know that, it's like, oh, my beer's still full, fantastic.
Bottomless glass.
Yeah, I love it.
And that is the most German of things, that if your beer doesn't have a head, then your beer is dead. That the foam on the top of the beer is life. That's what gives your beer aroma. And if you keep having freshly poured beer in really little glasses, then you're always going to have a lovely head. Your beer's going to be at the perfect temperature. There's a lot to be said for tiny glasses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're drinking our tiny glasses now, but that's just because what we have at the office. It's something we were actually just talking about with our friend Yo-Yo from Garage Project, talking about tasting and how they just tested the fault of Light Strike by putting a beer on the shelf of their office for a little while to get that that flavor that you get if a beer is left out in the sun. And you can actually detect that really quickly if you drink beer that has been sitting out for even half an hour, even if it's still cold. The light getting to it's going to have like a skunking effect. So you can definitely see the argument for just constantly topping you up.
Yeah, Light Strike is a major thing that I think a lot of people don't really know about. And that's why we have, well, cans are fantastic. No light gets inside a can, and brown bottles. But yeah, certainly those clear bottles like you have Corona and Sol are, well, that's why the beer tastes so bloody terrible. One of the reasons. And even green bottles aren't great at keeping lights out, right?
Yeah, well, basically it goes white being the worst, then green, then brown. You can get some very expensive black bottles, which I know a few breweries have used. I think Liberty used it for Prohibition Porter. But yeah, it's sort of one of the marks in the favour of cans that, yeah, no light gets in.
Well, the name Kölsch was first coined 100 years ago. To describe this beer that we're still drinking. We just topped our glasses up. Cheers. So there were over 40 breweries that were operating in Cologne 100 years ago, but then World War II happened and the place got seriously trashed by the Allies. Heavy, heavy bombing all along the Rhine, and Cologne especially as an industrial city got really heavily destroyed by the Allied bombing. And at the end of the war, there were only three breweries left that were brewing Kolsch. So it's like one of those many beer styles that have almost died out just due to the wave of the popularity in lager in the past 100 years. But a few clung on, and in 1986, local brewers came together and they signed the Kolsch Convention, which actually states that the name is regionally protected. So I believe that regional protection is only protected in the EU.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's Lambic and Gers, I believe, fall under the same category. And and while it legally, I believe that restriction does only apply in the EU, it's European law. Many breweries overseas in New Zealand do abide by those conventions, but I see it much less with Kolsch than with other styles that are regionally protected. See Kolsch around a bit more than Lambic or Gears.
Yeah, I definitely see some American brewers that have released a beer and they called it a Kolsch style ale. So also the signatories agreed to exclusively serve their beer in these 200ml Stanger glasses, I can't wait to be able to get back to Germany when the world opens again and drink a shitload of Kolsch out of little Stanger glasses before moving on to Dusseldorf and drinking Altbier, and then to Bavaria and drinking Rauchbier. And I won't get on to.
Yeah, don't get started on historical German styles. That's something for another episode, I think, Luke.
Definitely. All right. Well, yeah, I'm enjoying this beer.
Yeah, and so this is our Beer Chat Beer of the Week that all our subscribers will be drinking. You can check out some more detail in writing on the website. If you just go to beerjerk.co.nz and click on this week's beer, you can find out a bit more about Cloudbase and a bit more about Eddyline. And if you're someone who likes a good, easy drinking beer, but I mean, like me and unlike Luke, I'm not a big lager fan, but if you want something that's along those lines, but what I find a bit more drinkable, Cloudbase from Eddyline, it's a great way to go.
It's a great beer, and next time you're in Nelson, be sure to pop into their the Eddyline pub. They do good pizza too.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, Matt, we're sat here drinking some Kolsch at the Fridge and Flagon. What's the news this week?
Well, there's a bit going on this week, actually. It's a pretty exciting week for us at Beer Jerk and our brewing brand Small Gods, because we are releasing on Friday this week, that's the 28th of May.
Thereabouts.
Our first ever contract brew.
Satan!
You gotta say it with feeling, Luke. So this is a beer that we've been really excited about. We've done a bunch of collaborations in the past under our name Small Gods Brewing. But those have previously been other people's breweries with people like North End, Balin's, Choice Bros, Double Vision. We've done some really cool stuff, but this one is the first one where we've ventured out on our own. We've brought in the help of our good friend Mike Cheer, former brewer at Steam, Harrington's and Volstead. We flew him up to Auckland to brew our Gunpowder Bock.
Well, I got inspired to make this beer when walking through the park, Myers Park, just behind K Road. And it's just a Sunday, I was walking to the park and there's a really cool sculpture at the bottom down the city end, which is of a family of goats. And every time I walk past the sculpture, I think, shit, I want to drink some Bock. And I'm sure all of you listening know this, but Bock being an historic German beer style from Bavaria, it's a
God
strong...
damn it.
It's a strong dark lager. And in a Bavarian accent, Bock sounds a bit like, Ein Beck sounds a bit like Bock, which is the German word for a male goat. So all Bocks have a picture of a goat on them, which is, I suppose, how a lot of things in general, a lot of, bakers, brewers, people that made anything would signify things in the olden days with pictures. So you'd have three houses, three Bavaria that would have a picture of a goat or a sculpture of a goat or a goat's head outside. So every Bock that you ever see, that's brewed by anyone pretty much, has a picture of a goat on it.
And well, we were inspired by that, and in our conversations with Mike, Mike is big into the metal scene in Christchurch, and there's a lot of satanic imagery there around goats and Satan as the old goat. So that all tied together for us.
Yeah, all of the small gods' names, the beers are generally named after deities or things from mythology and history. And yes, I came into the office the next day and I said to Matt, man, we've got to brew a bock. But which deities are kind of goaty? And we thought about sort of Pan and Satyrs, and then, well, yeah, the Orbital Song came to us. And yeah, we thought we'd go for the big guy.
Yeah, and so yeah, hence the name Satan, Satan, Satan. And one of the things we like to do as small gods is mix it up a little and put our own twist on those historical styles. So we threw around a few ideas about, well, we've got to make it taste like hell, we've got to make it taste like fire and brimstone, and that's why we came up with the concept of the gunpowder bock. So it's been brewed with elements including sulfur, saltpeter, and carbon, which are the three elements of gunpowder. Now, we're really excited about this, and the beer is launching, as I said, this Friday at the Fridge and Flagon. We've got Baby G Burger coming in to do a pop-up. There's some, I don't actually have it in front of me, but there's some, they're doing a one-off burger, which looks incredible. I've had some of their stuff before, and it's delicious.
Yeah, Oklahoma Burger or something.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of onions and jalapenos and stuff, so that's going to be cool. It's going to pair really well with the beer, which is, well, you're going to have to taste it for yourself. And our Beer of the Week subscribers will be lucky enough to have that coming up in about 6 weeks, so we'll talk about it a bit more then.
It's a pretty special beer, and it tastes good.
It does. Talking of beers that taste good, we've had a bunch of new releases come out this week from a few cool breweries, and it's that time of year. We're coming into winter in about 5 days' time, so everyone's pumping out their dark beers now. So we have the latest in the Surrender to the Void series from Garage Project, brewed with chocolate, miso, and black sesame. It's an 11.5% Imperial Stout, so looking forrward to that. We've got a Parrot Dog have released Denise, which is a double porter, so classic porter, but sitting at 8% strength, nice and smooth, kind of, again, chocolatey, roasty, but with no adjuncts in that one. UK brewers Thornbridge, a new import shipment has just landed from them, and we've had a little bit of their stuff in, but the latest two that we've got are their Market Porter, which is just a classic British porter, really kind of to style, and if you want to try sort of a really good classic British example of a porter, you can get that, or a bit of more of a modern twist with their Cocoa Wonderland. Derelict Brewing from down in the South Island have...
Derelict Brewing? The best brewery in New Zealand?
I don't know if they're still claiming that. They were the number one brewery on tap for a while, but they've just released three, which is to celebrate their third birthday, and that is a chocolate, sea salt, caramel, coconut, banana bread, vanilla pastry stout. So that's super limited in bottles at actually a really good price, so there's not going to be much of that around.
How much are the bottles?
They're only about $8.50.
Right, that's not going to last long.
No. So and the brewery is sold out, so get that while you can. Another South Island brewery, moving away from dark beers now, Kraftwerk have just released what is my favourite of their beers, Bruxelles Mabel.
Bruxelles Mabel is beautiful, just everything about it, even the design, the Tintin typeface they use. It's inspired by Fufun from Canteon.
Maybe the best brewery in the world.
Yeah, but it's actually more apricotty than Fufun. Well, in previous years, I actually haven't tried this batch. So every year it changes, it's spontaneous, it's organic, it's natural. And that's the beauty of beers from Kraftwerk.
Yeah. Again, small batches. The Kraftwerk are just upgrading their setup down in Omro at the moment. They've just moved locations and upgraded, I believe, from 100-litre brew house to 500 litres.
Yeah.
So
got a new German kit they're getting in.
Yeah, so a Braumeister kit, I believe. So yeah. They're gonna be doing some more cool stuff. So keep an eye out for their productions to increase, but probably not for a year or two as they're sticking everything in barrels.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's really exciting, the developments there and with their tap room. And a couple of other new beers. Another wild beer is Crystallized Visions from Garage Project. It's the latest in their series of wild and hazy IPA blends out of the Wild Workshop.
Is that the third they've done in that series?
I believe it's the third one. They had Harmonic Convergence and another one that...
With the whales on. That
with
was
the whales
amazing.
On. That won the Gabs Label Award. This one's got some dolphins, a bit different.
Yeah, a bit happier.
Yeah.
Good t-shirts as well they're doing with...
Oh, such cool t-shirts. And they've released one of my favourite of their beers, Red Rocks Reserve, is back in cans, boiled on hot volcanic rocks.
A Stein beer.
Yeah, I love that beer. It's sort of really turned me around on red ales years ago when I first tried it.
More Stein beers.
I'm going to stop Luke before he goes on a historical German tangent.
We're made with a traditional technique because, of course, in the olden days, people had these big wooden tuns and you had to heat them up somehow. You couldn't put a fire underneath a big wooden tun. So those wily old Germans were just lobbing superheated rocks.
Do we have a new drinking game for the podcast? Every time Luke mentions the Germans, then have a little sip of whatever you're drinking.
Well, the beauty of Red Rocks is that they've used volcanic rocks from a beach near the brewery. But not only does it superheat the beers when the rocks go in, I don't know why I'm using my hands to demonstrate rocks being thrown into a mash tun because you can't see me.
It's very explicit.
That also there's a wonderful caramelization that happens as the sugars attached to the rock. And in traditional German Stein beers, those rocks are then chucked into the fermentation vessels. I don't know if Garage Project do that, which gives it a more complex, sort of interesting sweetness. Maillard effect, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they do, but nevertheless, it's a fantastic red beer. Mm. All those beautiful, rich red malt characters. It's kind of your caramel biscuit notes going on there. Also, a massive whack of Nelson Sovin hops, giving it a really kind of modern red IPA feel. And it's, one of my favorite of the Repeating Garage Project beers. Of course, there's a couple of new hazy IPAs from Behemoth.
No,
never. the latest in their Hot Buddies series, Happy and Chubbs, which is brewed with Cryo Citra and Vic Secret, and Fiscally Irresponsible Use of Hops, which he's brewed with 40 grams per litre of hops.
Completely unrelated to the beer called Fiscal Damage from Deeds that we imported recently, brewed with 50 grams per litre of dry hopping.
Andrew was a little upset about that when he saw it.
Probably didn't think we were going to import it. But have you tried that one yet?
I haven't.
Pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's cool. But mentioning Deeds, we have also just landed a shipment from Deeds.
Yeah.
One of Australia's most hype breweries. We have, I think we bought in 17 different beers from them. A couple have sold out already. But we Peanut butter sold out. Yeah. We do have it on tap at the Fridge and Flagon. Peanut Butter Imperial Stout, which tastes exactly as a beer that's called that should taste.
Dark chocolate, round, nutty, lovely.
Yeah, and if you want to try some Deeds beers, we've got a mixed case of their hoppy stuff available for $79.70. So that's less than $10 a beer for four double IPAs, a triple IPA, a West Coast IPA, an Oat Cream IPA, and a Hazy Pale Ale. So there's only a couple of those left. So if you haven't tried any Deeds beers, it's a really great way to wrap your mouth around some of the best stuff coming out of Australia.
Yeah, what I love about Deeds is that they're really just at the forefront of big, thick haze boys, of just cans of cake batter, but also they're getting into some interesting like decoction mash lagers. They've got a Pilsner Nastrovi that we've just landed with us. Which is lovely. They've got Helles Lager, which is beautiful.
Which is what's that? Is that a
Helles? Yeah, traditional German, like soft lager. and they've got that that Imperial Wheat beer. That's called Lament.
Lament Configuration.
Like a 9% super hoppy wheat. Yeah, I haven't tried that yet.
I think it's 50% wheat double IPA.
Nice.
Which has been getting some great feedback too.
Yeah, mash up. And that's about it for new releases this week. And of course, we're not just about drinking beer. We mainly are about drinking beer. But also, Matt and I are very cultured people. Matt reads books.
I can read books.
Yeah.
I do read books.
We listen to a pretty eclectic mix of music.
Luke listens to a particularly eclectic mix of music.
Every week with our Beer of the Week, I like to pair it with a different album. So this week's Music Match is, well, it's the latest Paul McCartney album, Paul McCartney 3.
And I can't believe I haven't listened to it yet. My wife and father-in-law are the biggest Beatles fans in the world, and it's I saw it come out and I completely forgot about it, so I need to check that out.
3 is brilliant. Just classic McCartney songwriting, really lovely. But that's not the album which is this week's album of the week. It is McCartney 3 Imagined, which is that album reimagined and covered by a bunch of fucking awesome musicians. People like Anderson .Paak, people like Beck, St. Vincent. So some of the most interesting, innovative, cutting edge musicians. Well, not remixing, but just completely reimagining McCartney's lovely melodic songs. So that's McCartney 3 Imagined.
Awesome. And my book of the week is Hops and Glory, One Man's Search for the Beer That Built the British Empire. It's a book by Pete Brown, who's a well-renowned British beer writer. And in that book, he has basically attempted to recreate the original IPA. So he has taken an original Burton Ale recipe from 140 years ago. He has brewed it at one of the classic breweries. The story is his journey to take that beer in cask by the traditional shipping route from the UK all the way to India. So it's part travelogue of his journey. He takes the beer on a long ship and through canals and how he got it there and the various tribulations along the way. And that is paired with a history of the IPA, a history of the style, how it came about, how it's brewed and how it's developed. So it's a bit of entertaining travel writing, a bit of entertaining beer history, and it's just a really well-written, fun read. Hops and Glory by Pete Brown.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Have you got that in hard copy or digital?
I read a hard copy that I borrowed from a friend, but you can get it on Kindle, you can get it from Book Depository or any of your online retailers.
Or maybe I'll make friends with your friend and try and borrow it off them.
No, you can try.
Well, that about wraps up this week's, the first ever Beer Jet podcast. Thank you for listening. Hopefully it wasn't completely shit. If it was completely shit, please let us know. We do not have thin skin, so
I do, but tell us anyway.
to bruise Matt's delicate little ego. But yeah, please get in touch with us. So we're on the social medias. You can just find Beer Jerk on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Ideally not Twitter. I only go on Twitter once a week. It's full of angry people. I hate Twitter.
Yeah, everyone's upset.
I suppose the most vibrant platform that we have is a Facebook group. So we have a members Facebook group called NZ Beer Jerks. There's about 2,500 people in there. There's lots of good chats, banter, memes.
Yeah, people post about what they're drinking, cool beer events that are going on, just generally beer adjacent stuff. So me and Luke are really active there. So you can come have a chat, tell us how you hate our stupid voices. But at least be glad you don't have to see our stupid faces.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. And you'll be hearing from us next week. Cheers.
Cheers.